Welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on the weekly, Coffee Mug Indie RPG, mm-hmm. Bitchin' Chimera, Adventure Zone Responds to Artist's Criticism, The Wretched Second Printing on Kickstarter, and Old School Revival Humble Bundle.
Okay. I think I know all of those this
time. Oh, nice. Nice. So let's start with a morning coffee for a new lover. So Nathan Black is an indie designer that you can, I think, find all over Itch. His recent game is printed on a mug.
I think I've seen this.
So Morning Coffee for a New Lover is following some of the thinking from his previous games, Search and Destroy and Sigil Seekers. Text for it is, you've run in the same circles for a long time. You were always attracted to each other, but there were always reasons you didn't hang out. Tonight was different. Sparks flew. They came home with you. You get up quietly to make coffee for your new lover. So that's the setting. And so it's printed on a mug. And so how do you play? So you're replaying the events of the night before while you make coffee. You remember their touch. You remember the first tumble into bed. And then you deliver the goods, the coffee, to the new lover. So everything to play the game is printed on a very standard kind of white coffee mug. You can buy the game printed on a mug from Black's Sassy 86 site. I'll put a link to that. I thought this was clever and ingenious. And
yeah, I like
that. Yeah, mugs, that's a great thing, especially like something to preoccupy yourself like during a coffee break at work or something.
Right.
That would be really good. The only problem I have with this is how many people are actually going to be able to play this game? I mean, unless you can make coffee for your anime body pillow, I don't know.
All right. That's some stereotypes there. And not where I thought you were going. And you know what? Okay. You know, I've seen this. I've not seen the text for it, so I don't know how to play.
Mm-hmm.
Unless part of the game actually incorporates the person's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually give it to an anime body pillow. You know, I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but like if the game ends with you delivering the coffee to the person, The person doesn't actually have to be there.
Right, right.
And you could do it by yourself, so you could play it. Or if it encourages you to either imagine the person's reaction, That when you give them the coffee, then you could play it. And I thought that because, I mean, the games I've made, it's kind of like two-player, but you're imagining one person.
I see, yeah.
So that's what I thought of as well. Mm-hmm. Like, if it actually does incorporate the person's reaction when you give them the coffee, that would be pretty interesting. I've seen other games that actually take a person's reaction or the way something happens, if it's like an inanimate object, Other than dice, Into sort of part of the game and the resolution of the game. And I think that's kind of interesting. So I would be curious to see whether or not this game actually did that. And I've also considered putting a game on a coffee mug.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And it's cheap to do. I mean, it's not, but the only problem is you can have broken games arrive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is any different from like a misprinted book or a box set missing pieces how? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so very interesting. And I think that's very inspired. And I think it's good to encourage kind of some normalcy in gamers' lives and to focus on very positive, happy events in their lives instead of obsessing with the negative and the people trying to destroy you and all the conspiracies, you know, in your life. I think that's a very positive thing. So I think, Morning Coffee for a New Lover is a very inspirational setting and idea for an RPG.
I'm going to have to look at this because maybe the end of the game is they get up and leave. So right. Who knows what this game is going to end like.
Or just a frantic search for the morning after, for a place that sells the morning after pill.
Oh, all right. That, yeah.
Anyhow. Hey, Chris, what's happening?
Not a lot, yeah. What's up?
Well, a rumor around town says you might be thinking about going down to the shore. What are you going to do down there? Play some video games? Buy some Def Leppard t-shirts? Don't forget to buy the Motley Crue t-shirt. You know, the proceeds go to getting their lead singer out of jail. But that's another story. The important thing here is the part where you ask me how I'm going to get down to the shore.
Okay, and how are you going to get down to the shore?
Funny you should ask. I got a car now. My folks drove it down from the Bahamas. I'm kidding. The Bahamas are islands. Okay, the important thing here is for you to ask me, what kind of car is it?
Okay, what kind of car is it?
I got a bitchin' Camaro. So anyhow, that's the preamble. That's the preamble to a Dead Milkmen song, to Philadelphia's own.
So I lose Philadelphia creds by not knowing.
You do, yes. So for those of you that don't recognize that banter of the scathing indictment of 80s car culture, so that was the Dead Milkmen's Bitchin' Camaro. And we might have a reason to play 5th edition because the Dead Milkmen have written a module.
Sorry, what?
So The Lost Tomb of the Bitchin' Chimera is being released, is being published by Severed Books, which is their publisher. So the origin of it is kind of funny. It was just something that they wrote like you know, backstage waiting to go on or whatever with a group of friends. So they literally have been involved with role playing in some aspects.
Okay.
That's, probably for a long time.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it's written by Andrew Irvin, an accomplished writer. He's probably best known for his novel, Burning Down George Orwell's House. This was written with three friends before a concert, and now it's taken on a life of its own. So they decided, the publisher got interested in it, and they decided that they would actually go to Kickstarter.
Oh, that was my next question of where it was going. Yeah, okay.
Right. Bitch and Chimera is going to be illustrated by Justin Sirois. He's done some previous work in RPGs as well. It's coming to Kickstarter later this month. So The Lost Tomb of the Bitch and Chimera right now has a character sheet available for free on DriveThruRPG. And it's a pay what you want, but all the profits from the character sheet will be donated to the William Way LBGT Community Center in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
So the Dead Milkmen are still making music.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. They just released a 7-inch Fascist Groove Thing is the latest 7-inch that they released. So, yeah, they're still performing. I saw like a 2017 clip of them online. And they still sound good. I mean, they don't have that sad punk thing going on. We're just like, oh, they used to be so so lively. And now they're just sad. No, they still sound good and very political too.
So I guess what I'm wondering is there any kind of indication as to the setting of the module, only because I would tend to think that, and I don't know if the module is actually inspired by music, but I would kind of expect a module written by a musical act like this to either incorporate their music into it or to be, I want to say more like weird acid fantasy or something.
Yeah.
Compared to what a standard D&D setting
is. It definitely is, yeah. So in order to placate the beast, the Bitch and Chimera, the players have to adventure through familiar locales like the Swamp of Desire, the Life is Shit Boneyard, and you might meet the Burrow Owlbear on your way to the tomb of the Bitch and Chimera.
Swamp of Desire. I don't really normally associate swamps with desire, but whatever, okay.
Yeah, but it's very psychedelic and very, like, the mashup of the art is very interesting. But it's also, it's obviously aimed at 5th edition, but it's kind of system agnostic. You can generally use it for just about anything.
That's the other thing I was wondering as well, because I cannot blame anyone for making material compatible or for use with Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition.
Mm-hmm.
Much as I don't like it, it is the world's most popular role-playing game, and if you want to be a commercial success, that is one way to do it.
Right.
And why not try and appeal to people who play the most popular game? You know, you got a much wider audience there. But then being able to have it be usable for other systems as well, if you can write it in such a way where it kind of does both, you've maximized your appeal. And it's just kind of a smart thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what that looks like when it gets to Kickstarter. But that's fun. I mean, that's definitely some new life into a hobby that's becoming a little odd and kind of ruled by actual play.
It is always odd.
But speaking of actual plays, the Adventure Zone, so the McElroy Brothers actual play podcast, had to respond to artists. So there were artist accusations on Twitter. And Critical Role, take note. This is how you deal with this situation.
Oh, really?
This
okay.
So obviously, they published graphic novels based on their adventures, and they had illustrators. You know, they had illustrators working on them. And so the artists were paid a $100 payment for each illustration. Also were given a multi-year exclusivity clause where they couldn't show or present any of the artwork after it was published. Yeah, so those were the complaints by the artists. And this was handled by First Second, I guess, their publishing company. So it's not directly the brothers themselves. Somebody is managing this. And of course, they're trying to keep the cost down. They're trying to maximize profits because they're, a for-profit business. But there was a quick response. The statement says, they said on Twitter, these artists were not adequately paid for their work and their art was put under an excessively long exclusivity clause. Hmm. We are asking the publisher to lift these exclusivity terms effective immediately and to significantly increase payments to artists featured in the book. Featured in future books.
Oh, okay.
We will also be compensating from past books an additional $500 out of pocket. We apologize for not being aware of the situation earlier, and we are urging First Second to implement these changes as soon as possible.
Oh, that's a pretty decent response, though.
Yeah, so really good. I mean, I think it's people that are aware that once things get big enough, it's going to get out of your control because you're not managing everything.
Right.
You know, you've delegated. Yeah, you've delegated projects to companies that, may not be looking out for the best interests of people that are dedicated fans and artists that are working because they love what you're doing. They love to be involved. Not taking advantage of them by, cheaping out on them and putting restrictions on their work, I think is good. So,
Like on the one hand, when a company or when an organization, whatever, does get big enough to the point where they have to delegate responsibilities to other parties, I would expect them to do due diligence to kind of make sure they haven't handed something off to a shady company.
Yeah.
But even with that, you kind of never know how people are going to act once they actually have that contract or that responsibility. Yeah. So,
and there are good companies with bad apples too. Like, somebody that could have been in charge of just the person that's dealing with the artist could have been like, hey guys, I know a great way to cut the budget on this. And I think that is a problem with things that become popular, because people do want to be involved just because of what they're working on. So they are willing to have short deadlines, low pay, just to be involved. And if that's taken advantage of to an extreme, it can create a lot of problems. But with social media, with them being able to post their grievances on social media, I think that is a better way to, kind of get awareness of these kinds of situations and make people respond. You kind of have to. And when your community, your fan base is online, everyone's going to be aware of that.
So something else on Kickstarter is The Wretched Second Printing. That was a game written by Chris Bissett, and I talked a lot about the Wretched and Alone game jam.
Right.
Didn't make anything for it because I don't have time. But I think it came out April 2020, and there was a very limited print run of 25 physical copies, of which I have one. A lot of people, according to the author, were asking for print copies after that initial run. So all this is for is to raise funds for a second printing. Things did get updated. Like, there's a new cover there. There's like a new layout. There's inclusion of safety tools that didn't make it into the first edition for reasons of space. And I think there's a couple stretch goals as well. I think it got funded in like 28 minutes. The first stretch goal was an additional 30 minutes of music because it did come with, again, written by the author, about like 30-ish minutes of music to play during the game.
Nice.
So I think that was going to be like an hour-long album. And I think the second stretch goal was logo shirts.
Oh, cool.
Because the idea of The Wretched is kind of just like Aliens or Alien. You're a crew member, the last crew member on the intergalactic salvage ship, The Wretched. So the logo is kind of very space truckery looking. Nice. So I think that's pretty cool. I am more inclined, I've backed a lot of Kickstarters. I don't have that much money to back more Kickstarters.
Right.
But like we've discussed in the past, I am more comfortable with independent creators like this, or like Chris Bissett, raising money for a second print run than I am with larger companies doing the same thing. Because again, I sort of see it as, here's a person who's made something and who wants to get that thing out to other people, but doesn't have the funds to do it. And without people backing it, this thing would not exist.
Right.
Whereas opposed with a larger company, I kind of feel like, you're a company, you should have that money ready, or at least be willing to sort of take the risk.
Yes.
To, especially if something's sold out.
There's
probably enough demand for a second printing. So
The Wretched is a journal writing game.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. It's a solo journal writing game that uses a microphone, writing utensils, like a D6, a deck of cards, and a tumbling block tower. Because the whole thing is, there's a bunch of fail states. One of them being you accidentally knock over the tower, meaning your ship collapses and you just end up dying.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. But it is, it's one of those journaling games, and it's the first one I saw that encouraged you to keep either an audio or video log, kind of similar to the way Ripley was doing for the Nostromo.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That creates an interesting product, especially if you do it in front of a green screen, you can make it pretty
great. Yeah. I couldn't tell you who did it, but when the game first came out, a player was doing sort of a green screen where it looked like they were kind of sitting in the bridge of a ship, kind of recording this grainy looking video footage. And I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you could absolutely do that.
So any updates about any games you were in?
Yeah, last Sunday, Alan and I were in a game of Visigoths versus Molgoths, which it's funny based on the music choices you were playing because it's set in 1996.
Right. Yep.
And it comes with a 4-hour Spotify playlist of music from 1996.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty cool. It's an interesting game. It's kind of Monster Hearts-ish where you're playing teenagers, but the game is set at being PG-13, unless you change it, and the conceit is Molgoths have accidentally summoned Visigoths into the mall, and there are now two teams, Visigoths and Molgoths, who are sort of vying for control of this fictional mall. I don't play a lot of JRPG games, or any, but sort of the scenarios you're given, I've heard, are similar to what you'd experience in one of those sort of video games. Because the two teams each have a goal they're working for, and you kind of have like 90 minutes of playtime or until the mall closes to accomplish this thing. You also can't leave the mall. If you walk out of one end, you warp back to the other side.
So. Well, that actually, LA malls do that. Yeah.
So it was really fun. I was a little disappointed that there were only three players because it's a game where you need those two teams.
Oh, right.
And it meant one player only had one character on their team. Mm-hmm. But I think as players, we did a good job or were aware of, okay, all of our characters are going to stick together. There was one Visigoth player, and their goal was to kind of distract the Molgoth characters until something could happen. It was fun interaction because as players, we knew, oh, this person's kind of like stringing us along and feeding us false information. But as characters, we're like, we can't figure out how to get around it, so we're just going to go with it. Right. But as a result, all three of the characters stuck together, which led to more interaction. And
oh, that's good. Yeah. The GM, Ben, got in touch with me a little for some quick quick ideas about what that would look like. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I really like the writing for that game, too. Mm-hmm. I would like to play it with this group, only because I think we would have a lot of fun with it. Which that's the sole reason to play it, but... I want to try and playing it again because one of the items you can get in the game is Brittany's spear.
Of course it is.
It's like the book is full of stuff like that, which I personally think is hilarious. So.
Nice. Yeah, it was either nominated or won an Emmy for best writing when it was released. Yeah, that's very cool.
We also played Tachyon Squadron. Yumi, Alan, and John.
That's right.
And I guess that's going to become an ongoing thing, possibly, which means I'm going to retcon that last scene.
Right.
Because there's stuff you do during a one-shot that doesn't feel right for campaign playing, or you want to highlight things in a one-shot. And so kind of I felt like I shoved the story along or just kind of dropped in stuff to so. And this is how it would work. But now that we're doing it as a longer game, I want to rewind and say, okay, let's take a step back because that bit doesn't make sense.
Sounds like a good idea. And I think the group agreed if we want to keep going, we're going to have to kind of...
I also completely screwed over John.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Didn't realize it, and this is why you should read the book. Yeah, that the whole thing about the having advantage and who has advantage for the dog fights, being at the top of that chart and being undetected means you can attack anybody.
Right.
Not you sit there and do nothing for a turn and then come in, which didn't make any sense. So, apologies to John for screwing him over like that, and I will rectify that in the next game.
Well, he had the advantage of not being shot at for a
turn. Yeah, which seems like an advantage, but then you're like, it's not that much of an advantage. Right. Yeah. I can also be a lot harder in terms of throwing damage at the characters in that game.
Oh, good.
Because you have a ship that's going to blow up under you first.
Right.
And all those ships have ejector seats. So, yeah.
Great.
Next time, I'm going to try and be a lot harder to try and get the ship to actually blow up.
Well, and next time, we're going to use plastic starfighter miniatures. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. Oh, a quick Humble Bundle I wanted to mention. So there's an old school revival bundle on Humble Bundle right now. and so it's they teamed up with Frog God Games for their newest bundle, kind of celebrating the... It's kind of mixed. I've heard people say old school revival or old school renaissance. Renaissance sounds a little more creative and less religious. Or I guess they're both pretty religious. But, but anyhow. But if you're interested at all in what OSR looks like, this is a really good opportunity because just for $1, you can get Swords and Wizardry and the Castles and Crusades Player's Handbook, as well as the Pestilent and Borderland Provinces. All PDFs. But so that's a really good kind of sampling of what people are doing with that original rule set.
Right.
Bringing it up to a more modern sensibility or making it more playable or being pretty faithful to that original style.
So. Or at least just kind of, from what I understand, some of the rule sets just clean up in terms of organization and presenting all of the relevant rules on a single page in kind of like the same area rather than having to flip through a bunch of appendixes or appendices to find rules for overland travel.
Right.
or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. There's a huge amount of books offered and, settings and different scenarios and maps and things as well. I'll put a link to that in the description. And it's well worth checking out if you've had any interest in it and just kind of want to see, like if you've played old school D&D and want to see what kind of the modern thinking is about it. Because I've really liked the sessions we had of Swords and Wizardry.
Oh, yeah, cool.
It's a really nice, very streamlined rule set, and combat and everything works well. And leveling and everything is, it's a lot easier and a lot less bookkeeping.
Is it one of the games where once you get to level 10, like, you're lord of whatever province you are, and you have to build the keep and have retainers
right.
and stuff?
You have hirelings and you can have a stronghold and everything. And leveling is very slow too. That's the kind of old school thing is it's a while before you're moving up.
Reaction I had was slow, and I thought you meant like in actually finding out what you get for that level in terms of like feats and whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
Not the actual amount of time.
Right. It takes a few sessions. Yeah. You're not leveling every session. Yeah, so it's good. Good stuff. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, where I'm currently talking about game ideas for Wretched and Alone, kind of based on Aeon Flux.
Oh, cool.
Because I think that would be cool. Also, I've got a new Twitter account that's only synthwave and related music recommendations.
Ah, nice.
That's Nymphwave.
Nice.
Nymphwave. And I made all the graphics for that as well. So
oh,
it was
cool.
A fun exercise in getting to try to replicate that sort of, 80s and 90s era design, because I'm a sucker for distressed effects.
Nice. Cool. We'll add that to your Twitter list.
Keeps growing. So how about you?
Oh, I do a single panel gag cartoon that I stream every Monday night, North American time. So that's abusecartoons.com is the website. And it's streaming on both Twitch and YouTube. And you can follow it on Twitter at abusecartoons. And the archive of all of the cartoons is gocomics.com/domesticabuse. If you want to get in touch with Idle Red Hands, idleredhands.com is the website. You can follow on Twitter at Idle Red Hands, both a Twitch channel and a YouTube, and just released the fourth part of the Mutant Chronicles series. So check that out. And there's a playlist of everything in order so you can catch up to part 4. Yeah, there's a few ways to support Idle Red Hands. One, of course, is Patreon. So patreon.com/idleredhands. And we've got some other links on the website under Support Us if you want to involve.
Do we have merch yet?
We kind of do. There's a Teespring store, but there's only one shirt.
All right. We have to
work on that.
Ooh, I'm sensing Idle Red Hands printed on a coffee mug.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So this week I was inspired definitely by the indie game development, but also by a punk band making a D&D module. So I looked at a quote from Charles Bukowski from Factotum and just kind of talking about inspiration and motivation. And I think if you're on the fence about doing something or you really want to commit yourself to something, this may help point you in the right direction. If you're going to try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. This could mean losing girlfriends, wives, relatives, and maybe even your mind. It could mean not eating for 3 or 4 days. It could mean freezing on a park bench. It could mean jail. It could mean derision. It could mean mockery. Isolation. Ah, isolation is the gift. All the others are a test of your endurance, of how much you really want to do it. And you'll do it, despite rejection and the worst odds. And it will be better than anything else you can imagine. If you're going to try, go all the way. There is no other feeling like that. You will be alone with the gods, and the nights will flame with fire. You will ride life straight to perfect laughter. It's the only good fight there is. So that's it for this week.
Cool.
We'll be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Bye. On and on, some sonic grind.